الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان وكرم وعلمه من البيان ما لم يعلم وسبحان الذي لا يحصى امتنانه باللسان ولا بالقلم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحاب سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. أما بعد. Respected elders and brothers and young friends, honorable ulama, mothers and sisters that are listening at home or via the various platforms. If you recall to 4 weeks ago when I last spoke, I shared with you a hadith of Tirmidhi where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that three things, one shouldn't delay those three things when their time arrives. The first one being Salah. And we spoken in great detail with regards to this topic. Then the second being the Janazah. It shouldn't be delayed. And then the third one being Nikah. Nikah shouldn't be delayed also. Prior to Nikah, any interaction of a explicit or sexual nature with the opposite sex is not allowed. For those of you who are probably confused, in the, you know, when you fill a form out, it has gender, it has sex, it means male or female, okay? For those of you that don't understand. Prior to Nikah, this isn't allowed. Yes, you may work in some environments where you have no choice but to interact with the opposite gender. All I say to that is, you have to keep it professional. You have to keep it professional. Even prior to Islam, even prior to Nubuwwah, and prior to prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was hired because he was the businessman of Makkah. People wanted him. He was unique. Unique after Nubuwwah and unique before Nubuwwah. Khadija radiallahu anha, who was not married to him at the time, she was looking for a businessman. She was a tajira. She was someone who was engaged in business. And she was very wealthy. Women can do business within the guidelines of Sharia. And especially nowadays, we're living in the time of the digital era. There are platforms and there are avenues where our mothers and sisters at home can make money. So one shouldn't restrict them if it doesn't harm. Nevertheless, it's another topic. Khadija radiallahu anha was looking for someone. She had been cheated many times. She had been cheated many times. Because in those days, the norm of business was that the people who are doing tijara in Makkah would go to other countries And there was no aeroplanes, or there was no, the source of transport in those days was via camel. From Makkah to Syria, it would take a month, and a month to come back, so 2 months. Many times she had been cheated. Whoever she hired, they cheated. Except for one person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And usually the norm, the adat, the habit is that the man, he goes and proposes to the wife. That's the normal way. But with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was the other way. The woman came to the man. Khadija radiallahu anha was so impressed with his honesty, with his trustworthiness. Please listen to these words carefully. It's a shame, you know, the one day of the week and where the Jummah khutbah, although this isn't the khutbah, but one of the purposes of the khutbah, Sahib al-Hidayah mentions, is for ta'aleem, and to talk to the public about the affairs. Because nobody sits in the dars after on Monday. Nobody sits in the dars after Wednesday. Nobody sits compared to the majma you get on Eid and Jummah. So this is that one day where people should think, Chalo, I'm going to come early, I'm going to go, it's a special day, it's Jummah, I'm going to come and sit down, I'm going to listen to what the Imam says, and so on and so forth. But unfortunately that doesn't happen as well. We need to encourage one another to do so. So normally it was the opposite, right? The Rasulullah was trustworthy. He didn't cheat anyone. People trusted him. People trusted him with their life savings, with their life belongings. Nowadays you can't even trust your own blood brother with your life savings. Nowadays you can't even trust your own blood. Is he going to take it? Is he going to rob it of me? Or anything like this. You hear cases so many times of this. It's a shame. لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له ولا دين لمن لا عهد له. It's mentioned in the hadith that person is not a true mu'min where people can't trust him. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he had these beautiful characteristics. He was trustworthy. He didn't cheat. He didn't cheat. He gave her a full report. He didn't even take a penny out of it. So these kind of interactions in our work life are going to happen. We keep it professional. We keep it to what it is, and we don't step over the boundary. We don't step over the boundary of Sharia. So nikah is a very important thing. Normally people tend to wait until they've saved some money. They've got thousands and thousands in the bank. Normally people tend to wait until they've got this, until they've got a house secured, until they've got a job secured, until they got this, that. And then they look to sit down and get married now. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention? He says that when it comes to nikah, إِن يَكُونُوا فُقَرَى يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Nikah is something that shouldn't be delayed. You know, there are ignoramuses out there. People who aren't learned. Number one, and number two, people whose hearts, Allah has put a seal on their hearts. May Allah protect us. One of my videos I posted about a hadith. So one person quotes, comments under there, that there's no such thing as hadith. No such thing as hadith. It's not reliable. It's more reliable than your own existence. Every hadith, all the hadith, It goes hand in hand with the Quran. Just because you don't understand, that doesn't give you the right to question it. Now, Dr. Saab, if you, somebody questions biopharmacists and all this kind of thing, somebody questions medicine, does that mean it's not reliable? It's because you don't have knowledge about it. So the hadith mentions, don't delay the nikah when two suitable rishtas come. When they are compatible and they tick all the boxes for each other, don't be a barrier in between that. Don't be a barrier in between that. And the hadith is mutlaq. Mutlaq meaning there's no conditions or strings attached to it. There's no condition that you have to have this much amount, you have to have this job, you have to have this. And who's backing this up? Allah. Allah is saying, if you are poor, don't worry. Allah will enrich you. Looks, people don't think. They question jahalat, idiocy, idiotic, stupidity. It's not for everyone. Please understand. It's not for everyone to interpret Quran and Hadith. It's not everyone's job. Not everyone is an imam. Not everyone is a qari. Not everyone's a mufti. Not everyone can give fatwa. Just because you read Sahih al-Bukhari translation, even the translation isn't word to word. Musa will tell you. Not everybody's a doctor. Somebody comes to me and says, my head's hurting, I'm probably going to say, take paracetamol. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days hurting, have you taken paracetamol? Maybe you need to go see a doctor. I'm not a doctor. لِكُلِّ فَنِّنْ رِجَال. This is an Arabic saying. For every science, there are its chosen people. Nowadays, deen's, you know, it's become a mockery. It's become a joke. Every Tom, Dick and Harry, every Zaid, Bakr, Umar is giving fatwa now. And when they don't understand it, or when it doesn't align to what they're saying, then what happens? They disregard it. This is the Quran verse. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen the one who has taken his own desires as a deity? He's listening to his own desires. This is not what deen's about. This is not what Islam is about. So look, the hadith is mentioning that when you get two suitable, a man and a woman, they are suitable, they tick the boxes for each other, then the best thing you can do is do the nikah. Not mangni. Not engagement. There's no basis of mangni in Islam. I'm telling you the truth. What is mangni? What is engagement? I'm going to marry you, you're going to marry me, khalas. Then they put the rings on each other. Nikah isn't even done and they're touching each other's hands. That's what mangni is. Wouldn't it be better if you just did the nikah then? We need to think. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of the deen. Nikah brings responsibility. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that if you are capable of getting married, then get married. Do the nikah. Don't delay it. This is what the hadith is teaching us. And the best nikah, the hadith mentions, the one which has the most barakah, that nikah which has the most barakah, which has the most attention from Allah, aysaruha ma'una, the one which is the most simplest, the one which is the most simplest, they have the most barakah, free from extravagance. Free from getting yourself into debt. You know, one thing is, if you're well off and you're minted and you're mashallah, you got a lot of money and you're well off and you want to spend according to your capability, that's fine. But the problem is, or the issue is, majority of us don't have that kind of money. Majority of us don't have that kind of money. We have to borrow 15k of someone else, 20k of somebody else, 10k for the Rolls Royces and all the cars. Yeah, it doesn't even belong to him. You know, 15k for the hall and all this kind. We don't even have that money in the first place. Chalo, you have the money, that's another thing. Yeah, Allah's blessed some people with a lot of money. And may Allah continue to bless them. The moral is, the usul is, live within your means. Live within your means. But you know, us Asians, we have an issue. I can only speak for Asians because I'm nothing other than an Asian. I can't speak for the Yemenis, I can't speak for the Arabs, I can't speak for them because I'm not from them. But generally, the general status quo is that if so and so did a wedding to this quality in our family, we have to make sure we do it the same. Or we have to eclipse them. Whether we got the money or not, we'll get it somehow. This is the wrong ideology, wrong mentality. And sometimes, well, most of the time, this is what prevents the nikah from taking place. This is what prevents the marriage from taking place. And this is mainly the reason why our brothers and sisters fall into zina and adultery. This is the harsh truth. The reality is, what should have happened is, the boy and the girl should compose themselves, should control themselves, shouldn't meet each other, shouldn't be talking to one another on that level. This is the reality. But let's speak the truth. All that happens now. Let's not hide away from this. This is the truth. This is what happens. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it. You ain't got a say in this country, my friend. This ain't the 70s. This ain't the 80s where you can, you know, enforce that kind of thing. We know of families. We know of the stories where the children rebel and they go away. Mauli sahab, come and do the nikah. May Allah protect us all. So we have to have a bit of understanding. And so do our children as well. They have to have some understanding as well. They have to have the right education, the right tarbiyah, the right upbringing. When they were, it all goes back. When they were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, did you give them the right education? Did you give them the right tarbiyah? Did you give them the right upbringing? Did you have these conversations with them about relationships? Or did you leave it to when they were 16, when they've already been? Too late then. Because they've been taught another way of how to handle relationships. They've been taught another way of how to deal with intimacy and all these kind of things. Because you as a father, you as a parent, did not have that conversation when you should have. All goes back to tarbiyah. All goes back to upbringing. It all goes back to education. It all goes back to giving your child time. We don't give our children time. We don't go to the park with them. We tell, mom, you go, you take them. I'm going to go home, eat my kebab shabab, watch the cricket, football, and you know, and I'll come home and listen to the sabak or whatever. It doesn't work like that nowadays. If you don't give your child time, somebody else is going to give them time. Most parents send their children to a normal school. That's 7 hours. 7 hours you don't see your child. Every day. Then they probably go to madrasa. Ustad's busy, 15 people in a class, listen to everyone's sabak, then does Islamic studies, and then madrasa's finished. Come home, eat, sleep, repeat. When do you sit with them? When do you talk to them? When do you ask them about their day? What activities do you do with them? Or is it they come home, go straight onto the console, PS5, Xbox, go to sleep. They didn't see the dad the whole day. Dad's at work. overtime, 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 working to give your children a better life, but not realizing that what you're actually giving your children is not the better life. Because you've deprived them of you. The children don't want all these fancy things. They want you. They want your attention. They want your time. They want you to sit with them and read them a story and read them a book. And when they get older, to do things with them. But you didn't instill this from the beginning. You let Miss Rachel do things. You let Omar and Hannah do things. You let all these YouTube programs and all these YouTube cartoons take over, but you yourself weren't there. Parenting isn't easy. It's a 24-hour duty job, yeah? And you have to do it correctly and properly. Because if you do not, then you will lose your children. Losing your children from a young age, it carries on. It's a domino effect. It carries all the way on until they go to adults. And it's a process. So even when it goes to nikah, see how we linked it back to childhood, how we linked it back to tarbiyah, how we linked it back to upbringing, how we linked it about parenting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our families intact. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح Allahu Akbar La ilaha illallah
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected elders, brothers, just a couple of quick announcements. The first one is, as we've been watching the horror coming out of Gaza, tomorrow there is a national demonstration in London from Embankment where everybody's meeting at 12 o'clock to commemorate 77 years of al-Nakba, which is translated to the catastrophe. It's 77 years since hundreds of thousands of our Palestinian brothers and sisters were forced out of their houses in original Philistine, in original Palestine. We've been watching this genocide for the last 18 months. Alhamdulillah, I can say that the two coaches from Walsall are full, and alhamdulillah, the majority of the coaches from Walsall, from the West Midlands are full. But those who are able to are encouraged to go and show our support. Alhamdulillah, our efforts are working slowly but surely, and victory lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we don't go and show our support tomorrow, what does the message that it says to the sends to the powers that be and to our brothers and sisters in Palestine? Because when they see a million people marching in the streets of London, it gives them strength. That's the least we can do. I hate to say this, brothers, but we've got people who will go to travel 100 miles to watch a football match or go down to London for a meal, but they don't have time to go and support their brothers and sisters and the children and the babies in Gaza. If we haven't been to a demonstration as of yet, there's been over 30. And we're able to, we've got good health. I don't want to lecture, but we should be ashamed of ourselves. What are we going to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He asks us, this was happening to my servants and my slaves, who I believe are the best of human beings on earth today. What are we going to say? So brothers, it's a heartfelt plea. If you can support it, take the train, drive down, get down to embankment tomorrow at 12 o'clock, inshallah. That's the first announcement. Related to that, alhamdulillah, today's collection is for the Muslim Council of Britain, which is the representative body of over 500 masajids, which is responsible for speaking up for our rights in this country and advocating for our rights and for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and other parts of the world. For this, brothers and sisters, you're encouraged to donate generously, please. We'll be collecting until Isha time today. Jazakallah khairan, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters all over the world. Jazakallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى آله وأصحابه، وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، مستمعي الكرام، نستقبل في هذا اليوم أياما مباركة عظيم فضلها كثير أجرها. إن هذه الأيام تحمل معها الذكرى العزيزة على النفوس، ألا وهي ذكرى خليل الله سيدنا إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام، وحياته الحافلة بمعاني الحب لله تعالى وتقديم التضحيات له. وقد أحسن بعض مشائخنا حيث عبروا عن حياة سيدنا إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام بعبارة وجيزة، فقالوا: سلم نفسه للنيران، وأهله للهجران، وولده للقربان، وماله للضيفان، وقلبه للرحمن، ويده لضرب الطغيان، وقدم إلى أبيه دعوة الإيمان، فصار خليل الرحمن. ولهذه الأيام المباركة فضائل ومسائل أذكر بعضها وأذكر بها نفسي وإياكم. الأمر الأول فضل الأيام العشر. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: والفجر وليال عشر. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما: المراد بها عشر ذي الحجة. وأخرج الستة إلا مسلما والنسائي عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيهن أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام العشر. وتستحب في هذه الأيام أعمال: الأول الإكثار من ذكر الله تعالى، كما ورد في الحديث عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: فأكثروا فيهن من التهليل والتكبير والتحليل. رواه أحمد والبيهقي وغيرهما. والثاني الصوم، كما جاء في الحديث عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: يعدل صيام كل يوم منها بصيام سنة، وقيام كل ليلة منها بقيام ليلة القدر. رواه الترمذي وابن ماجه، واللفظ للأول. وعن بعض أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصوم تسع ذي الحجة. رواه أحمد وأبو داود. ومن الأمور المستحبة في هذه الأيام ما روي عن أم سلمة عن أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا رأيتم هلال ذي الحجة وأراد أحدكم أن يضحي فليمسك عن عشره وأظفاره. رواه مسلم. ويختص يوم عرفة من بين هذه الأيام بفضائل كثيرة ومحاسن جمة، منها كثرة اعتاق الله لعباده من النار كما رواه مسلم. ومنها أن هذا اليوم هو الذي أكمل الله فيه للأمة دينها وأتم عليها نعمته، كما قال الله عز وجل في سورة المائدة: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. قال عمر رضي الله عنه: قد عرفنا ذلك اليوم والمكان الذي نزلت فيه على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو قائم بعرفة يوم الجمعة. رواه مسلم. ومنها أنه الشاهد الذي أقسم الله به في كتابه، فقال تعالى في سورة البروج: وشاهد ومشهود. رواه أحمد في مسنده. وتستحب في يوم عرفة أعمال، منها الصوم. عن أبي قتادة رضي الله عنه قال: إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: صيام يوم عرفة أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبله والسنة التي بعده. رواه الستة إلا البخاري. وروى البيهقي عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: صيام يوم عرفة كصيام ألف يوم. ومنها الدعاء عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: خير الدعاء دعاء يوم عرفة، وخير ما قلت أنا والنبيون من قبلي: لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، وهو على كل شيء قدير. رواه الترمذي. ومنها الإكثار من شهادة التوحيد بصدق وإخلاص كما رواه أحمد. والحاصل أن السلف رحمه الله تعالى كانوا يعظمون هذه العشر، فلا يحدثون فيها ذنبا ولا إثما، بل إن بعضهم كان يترك التعليم والتحديث لطلابه أيام العشر. وهذا، وأسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يوفقنا لفعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات في أيام العشر خاصة وفي بقية أيام السنة عامة، وأن يوفقنا لاستغلالها خير استغلال، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وأنعم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. وخير أمتي قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت، وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت، فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك، إنه لا يذل من واليت، ولا يعز من عاديت، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. نستغفرك اللهم من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب إليك. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات، والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك، ويكذبون رسلك، ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم، وزلزل أقدامهم، وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة، وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا، واشف مرضى المسلمين، وارحم موتاهم. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم، واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. هيا للصلاة، هيا للصلاة، هيا للفلاح، هيا للفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. اسمك تعالى. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم، غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى، سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربي ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا. ربي اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ولوالدي وللمؤمنين ولكم بإحسان. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب النار. اللهم اغفرنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم إنا نسألك دواك والجنة ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار. اللهم انصر إخواننا المظلومين المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي غزة وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.